You know, we've had a great morning of worship. It's just been a great morning. You know, this morning I got to meet probably half a dozen folks, families. If this was your first time here, and I just want to especially welcome you to Bethany Church. So if you see somebody sitting around you that you don't know, and maybe you're new or they're new, or maybe you've been going here a long time, be sure to just turn around and tell them, hey, thanks for being here with us. Just tell somebody next to you hello this morning, all right? There you go. There, you sound great. All right. Quinn was telling you about our annual Ton of Thanks. This is the 25th year that we've done what we call Tons of Thanks. And we just know that the best way to give thanks and express your gratitude is through giving. And the best way to express your thanks and gratitude to God is through giving to others. And so for 25 years, we tried to help those in our community through giving. And this year is no exception. We'll be helping those within our community through Broken Arrow Neighbors, a local compassion ministry that we've been part of helping support over the years. And then, of course, Men Pregnancy Resource Center, Crisis Pregnancy Center, Bright Spot Ministries, Mobile Ministries, a ministry right out of our church. And then, of course, New Jerusalem Baptist Church in North Tulsa. So you'll bring all those donated items. And so there's a list of those that you can get. These are some of the most needed items. You can pick up this card. You can go to bethany.info. And you can pick up one of these Tons of Thanks totes, is what I call them. And you can take this sack, and you can just fill it up with all these donated items and bring them next Sunday, and it'll just be awesome. And let me tell you a cool thing you can do, is that you can take this to the store and you can fill it up, and somebody is going to ask you, well, what's that sack? And what's that about? And what are you doing? Gives you an opportunity to do that. And so we want to bring a couple of tons. I just challenged Quinn this week, said, you know, if you can get the youth to bring a ton, I bet that the adults then can bring two tons. And so he said, oh, we can do that ton easy. So that's going to be awesome to do that. And then, as part of that, next Sunday, it'll be our Ton of Thanks pie auction, dessert auction. It'll be the biggest and best ever. One reason is that Bright Spot Mobile Ministries, that ministry I was telling you about, is preparing the food. And they'll have great food. It'll be chili, Frito chili pies, hot dogs, all homemade. And per request, I made today brown beans and cornbread. And they said, whatever you want. And so it's just going to be great. That's on a donation basis. And just come and be real generous. And then you will have desserts. And there'll be, this year, there'll be pies that'll be available to just to buy on the spot. You only be part of the auction. We're asking folks to bring some of those desserts, and you can be part of that. And then we're going to auction off 25 or 30 pies at exorbitant, extravagant prices of gifts. We have a great auctioneer who's going to take them right up to the top, because this year Modern Women will be partnering with us again with a matching gift now, $5,000. Yeah. And so every dollar, if we get five, they'll get five, that's $10,000, but I think if we go higher, it may be the largest ever. And then all of that goes to our ministry partners. The money goes to Broken Arrow Neighbors and to MEND. And it's just a great way to do it. And so this is a great opportunity to invite somebody to come to church, because this is a fun family event. Somebody that might not come to church anyway. Not only going to help people by giving generously, but we're going to invite people to come and reach into their life. And not only that, you know, we partner with some local elementary schools, three right around here in our neighborhoods. They know that they can reach out to us when they have a need that they recognize in their church, and they do it all the time. We just got an email and contacted by one of the elementary schools that asked us if it would be possible for us to help five families in their church with Thanksgiving meal baskets. So these five families said, of course we'll do that. Anybody you have? Said one family, the counselor told us, is in especially in need because they foster, they adopt, they have 10 kids in their family, and they really need some help. And so we're going to help these five families and probably more with Thanksgiving baskets and meals all through our Ton of Thanks and through your gifts and through your donations. So thank you so much for doing that, and I hope that you're planning to be part of that. Now, how you can help us is that really we'll need a lot of desserts. And so you stop by that table on the way out and let the volunteers know that you want to bring a dessert. And we know somebody just brings it, but it'll help relieve a little bit of anxiety on our part, knowing, oh, I wonder how many we're going to have. This will help with preparation and planning. Just stop by, just tell, hey, I'm going to bring my dessert, and how many are you going to bring, and then just plan to be here and plan to be generous, and you can even give. Somebody, matter of fact, asked me this morning, he said, I don't, a single guy in a church said, I don't even go to the store. If I gave him some money, could somebody get groceries for us? And I said, you give me the money and I'll get groceries for you. I said, yes. If you just want to make a monetary donations for to go towards this, and for you just mark it there on your gift and it'll go to that. We'll get the groceries for you and make sure that this is the biggest and best ever. It's going to be a fun blowout event. It'll really get you ready for Thanksgiving. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks, really, and so we want to be planning on that. All right, if you have your Bibles, you might open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're in the brand new series, kicked it off last week, called The Bible Doesn't Say That. And we're looking at these very common sayings that people think are in the Bible, but they aren't. They really are kind of now Christian cliches. They are, at best, half-truths, but sometimes a half-truth is more dangerous than a whole lie and can cause much more pain and damage than even a lie. These sayings sound, they sound good, they sound logical, they even sound spiritual, and we think that they are true, we think they are helpful, but in many cases, they may be harmful and hurtful, and besides being unbiblical, they give people the wrong ideas about God and His will, His character, how God works. They even create some stumbling blocks at times for people coming to trust God and ultimately to love God. So last week, I think we looked at the one that may be the most common of these sayings that we just sort of take as being in the Bible, that we maybe have heard all of our lives and probably have said it before: God helps those who help themselves. Now, this little saying has a bit of a tone that's condescending in a sense. That, God helps those who help themselves, and it can often be used as an excuse not to care or to help somebody that's in need. It can lead to a little bit of arrogance on our part. We sort of pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. I help myself. They wouldn't be in that problem if they would just work hard and help themselves. That's not true in so many cases. We know we are to do what God enables us to do, but there comes a point, many times for all of us, that there are things that we cannot do for ourselves that we need help. Today we want to look at a saying that is usually spoken with a tone of compassion and concern. It goes something like this. Someone is saying to someone that's going through a very hard, difficult time, he says, I know you're going through a tough time right now. You feel like you're sinking. The burden is too heavy. You don't know how much more you can bear, but it's going to be all right. You're going to make it through. Remember what the Bible says? God never gives us more than we can handle. And we think, when we say it, that we're at least giving maybe a lifeline of hope to somebody, or thinking it will help them. I don't know about you. I know I probably have said that in the past. I know that I've heard people say it, even say it to me. But this is what I know from the Bible, in which it's not in the Bible, but from my own experience. When you're hurting and when you're going under and when you really think that you're not going to make it, that is not helpful for somebody to tell you that. It really is not helpful. And often we want something to say, and that comes to a mind, and we say, maybe this will help them. You probably have said it, and that's okay. Just don't say it anymore, okay? You probably have heard it. And when it makes you angry and it hurts deeply when somebody says it to you, don't hit them. That's all I ask, all right? All right. So if this saying is not in the Bible, and by the way, I got in several discussions this week, and over the weekend, I got in a discussion this morning. And it really wasn't an argument, well intentioned, that somebody said, well, that is in the Bible. And we just kind of said, okay, so, well, let's just talk about it. But we didn't want to talk about it. So you just come to the service and be part of that. And they're in here this morning. And so where did it come from? If this did not originate in the Bible, where did it come from, first of all? Secondly, okay, if we determine whether or not it's in the Bible, if it's not in the Bible, is it true? Is it true? Well, first let's talk about where did this saying come from? Well, more recently, people have sort of attributed this saying to Mother Teresa of all people. And one of Mother Teresa's famous quotes is, I know that God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much. But really, this saying goes all the way back into the New Testament to 1 Corinthians 10. Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And this is the verse where the Apostle Paul talks about really the tests, the trials, the temptations is what he's talking about in this case. And this is a misquote. And this is what we want to look like. So this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He says, No temptation. Has overtaken you except what is common to all people, all right, all mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, which sounds like God will not give you more than you can handle. I agree. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now you need to know, Paul is talking specifically, and the word he uses is for temptation. And it is a temptation to acts of immorality, idolatry, sinfulness. It is the test to be drawn away from God in a sinful action. He is not talking about, in this case, trials, sufferings, and pain that we deal with. Remember, he's writing to the Corinthians. This is a church that Paul established in the ancient city of Corinth, which was the most pagan city in all of the world at that time. And sinfulness, evil, paganness was rampant in that city. So he goes there, and so the converts that established this little church, which is always Paul's troubled church, well, these converts were coming right out of sin, the world. And as time passed, there was this draw back into their old ways of life, especially sexual immorality, expressed through religion and idolatry. And what Paul is telling them is you need to resist. When temptation comes, there is no temptation to sin that you cannot overcome. All people, and he goes back and talks about the ancient Hebrews, and he tells them, God's faithful. So when you are being tempted, and some of you may be in the midst and the grips of a temptation to sin even now, Paul says, you don't have to give in to that. It's not stronger than you are. God will provide a way of escape. Now, let me tell you what that way of escape is. Probably 9, maybe 10 out of 10 times always works. Run. Get away from it. Don't meet it in the break room. Don't be Facebooking it. Get away from it. Resist it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You resist temptation and you run from it. That is the way that he provides for us to do that. So temptation is a test of our character and our faith. It's not adversity. It's not the pain, the suffering, the difficulties of life. Now the problem isn't that God fails to provide for us a way out of temptation. The problem is that when it appears, we usually don't pursue it. We don't take it. And the truth is, temptations are not so strong that we can't or we are unable to resist them. God always gives us a way out. And so you can overcome temptation. And so that might be the message that God wanted some of you to hear this morning, that are about this close to making a life-altering, changing, bad decision and giving in to something that you think you cannot overcome. Run. Pray to God, resist it, and flee from it. But that's where it comes from. It comes from a misquote. He's not saying there's no problem, there's no suffering, there's no difficulty in life that God won't give you, that you're not able to overcome. So is it still true that this God, even though that's not what Paul is saying here, is it true that God won't give you and me more than we can bear? And of course, many people think it's helpful to think that and to say that when people are going through hardships, facing adversities, they're overwhelmed, and you really don't know what to say. And often I find myself in situations. I was just in one just the last couple of weeks, just about the week before last, with a dear family friend. I had absolutely nothing that I could say to him. And I just told him, I said, Bo, I don't know why this is happening to you. He had both his legs amputated, 83 years old, suffering with cancer and failing kidneys. And both of us were crying and said, Bo, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why. And we just talked about faith and trusted him. So, you know, you don't know what to say, so we say something like, I know your life is hard right now, but God won't give you more than you can handle. Be encouraged. Or, I know you've lost a loved one, or you've experienced, you know, difficulties, adversity at your workplace, that you've been sick and you're dealing with this sickness, or you're financially struggling. Well, don't worry. Don't worry. God won't give you more pain and suffering than you can bear. That's not only not in the Bible. That is patently untrue and very unhelpful. Why or how? Well, let me give you two reasons why. This is damaging to those that are being suffered. There's two reasons why. It creates confusion and guilt. When you're the one going through the suffering, someone tells you that. What can happen is that can create some theological confusion. And that begins to make you the wonder about what you believe and what you don't believe about God. Why does God cause this suffering? Why does God give me more than I think I can handle? Why is God giving me this suffering and this trouble? Why is he putting all this adversity on me? I think it would be better understood if, first of all, we said that God does not give us these hardships and these trials. God in his sovereignty does allow them to come into our life, but he is not the source of them. And to think that somehow God gives us this pain and brings us, and sometimes what we're saying is God's going to take you right up to your breaking point. He's going to give you right up to the limit. Now, he's not going to take you over the limit, but he's just going to keep piling it on just to see if he can get you right up to your breaking point. And you begin to wonder, what kind of God does that? What kind of God gives us these kinds of things? But this is where we realize there are consequences of living in a fallen world. And we don't understand why there is evil and pain and suffering in the world, other than the fact that we have a free will and we live in a fallen world. And as a result of those things, we now live in the consequences of all that has happened. And while God is very sovereign, he does not give us these things. He does not cause pain and suffering. But he does not keep us from experiencing it either. And so God's not, what happens is somehow when we experience pain and suffering, this is a common theological, biblical error that we continue to believe. And that when something bad happens to us, God is mad at us. And what have we done to tick God off? That's Job's friends. That's what they basically thought. God, well, Job, I don't know what you did, but you really ticked God off this time. Look what God's doing to you. We still think that. Just because something bad, the difficulty you're going through, doesn't mean that God is mad at you. He's not upset. He's not even upset at you. He's not doing that to get back at you, to punish you. But he does allow us to go through those kinds of things. So God's not mad at you. So sometimes you wonder, what is wrong with God? What's wrong with God? Why is this happening to me, and what's wrong with God? So it creates theological confusion, but secondly, it creates also emotional guilt. So you're being told that God would never give you more than you could bear, and they're put on you more than you can bear, more than you can handle. Then you wonder, well, why am I falling apart, and why can I not handle this? And in the brokenness of the suffering and the pain that you're dealing with, you want, well, why am I feeling, why, on top of all that, now you're dealing with this guilt and this shame. Why can I not handle this? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I read a story about a lady named Ellie Peterson. She found herself suddenly facing one of the most terrible nightmares of adversity. Ellie's a grandmother and her 4-year-old granddaughter came over to her house to play, and her mother ran some errands, and they were just out in the yard playing catch, and Ellie accidentally threw the ball over Ashley's head. So threw the ball over her 4-year-old granddaughter's head, and she watched in horror as Ashley ran between two cars parked on the curb out into the street. Ellie screamed for her to stop, but Ashley never heard her. She ran into the street and never saw the car that hit her. Ellie now sitting in the emergency room waiting for Ashley's parents to arrive, and one of her good friends from church shows up. Her name's Rebecca. She had heard the bad news. She rushed to the hospital to comfort and to console her friend. In her desire to say something, Rebecca said, "Ellie, pull yourself together. Remember, God won't give you more than you can handle." And those words hit Ellie like a sledgehammer. Instantly, thoughts and feelings swirled around her brain until she thought she would pass out. Was she supposed to bear this? Was she less than a Christian because she couldn't bear this? How dare Rebecca speak so smugly and sanctimoniously to her? It wasn't her granddaughter that was in the ER who was lying there broken. Shame was added to her guilt and despair. Grief was multiplied as condemnation was heaped upon her shoulders, all in the name of kindness. Now, that's the danger of this little seemingly harmless cliche. There are multitudes of people under unbearable pressure. Many are sitting right around you today. You may be one of them. You struggled to get here this morning. You struggled to get out of bed just to make it here this morning. These are people who are struggling with the death of a spouse, the death of a child, a divorce, a job loss, a cancer diagnosis, an unfaithful spouse, a teenager that's addicted or even been arrested on drug charges, a parent with Alzheimer's. We're surrounded, even in the church on Sunday mornings, by people with broken hearts, broken hopes, or broken homes. And when these broken people hear the statement, "God won't give you more than you can handle," they immediately think, "What's wrong with me? Because I cannot handle this. I cannot bear this. I cannot do it. So what I'll give you here is the truth and a better promise." And here's the question: does God ever give you more than you can handle? Does God ever give you more than you can handle? Here's the answer: of course he does. In the sense, does God ever allow you to experience more than you're able to bear and to handle? Yes, he does. Those things are allowed more than we can handle on our own. Not that he gives them to us, but he does allow these things to come. They are more than we can handle. So two things I tell you this morning. Number one, you should expect to experience more than you can handle. You know, I don't really like surprises. Nobody likes surprises. I'm going to help you here. Just get ready. You can expect something to happen in your life that is more than you can handle, okay? So get ready for it. Because it probably, in many cases, you've already experienced it. You might be experiencing it right now, but just get ready. You're not done. You will experience it. You can expect to experience more than you can handle. The Bible is just a story after story of people who experience more than they can handle. David, I give you example after example. Look, listen to David. David in Psalm 38, 4 says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I can't handle it," he says. Or in verse 8 of Psalm 38, "I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart." And I guess you start naming character after character after character, but let me just give you the big one. This is Jesus. Jesus says before, on the eve of the crucifixion in Matthew 26, 38, Jesus said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Those are the words of Jesus. This is more, he says, I can handle by myself. And if Jesus says, you know, I'm overwhelmed to the point of death, that is more than you can handle. Or let me show you the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians, and he writes to this church, as I told you, as he's writing to them in 1 Corinthians 8. Listen to what he says, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. He says to them that we do not want you uninformed, brothers and sisters in Christ, about our troubles that we experience in the province of Asia. So he said, let me tell you about the troubles we experience. I want you to know them. There's just a little insight for you. It's very healthy and spiritually commanded for us to tell people about our troubles and how we suffer. It is not a badge of pride. You're only about as sick as your secrets. And so he says, I want you to know about the troubles we experienced, Paul says. Let me tell you about the troubles. He says, these troubles that we experienced, we were under great pressure. That's an interesting word. It relates to going to the depths of the sea and bone-crushing pressure. We were under great pressure far beyond our own ability to endure it. It was more than we could bear. So that we despaired of life itself. Paul says, I had just as soon been dead. I could not handle it, could not go through it. Then he says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. I sort of wonder, during that time of struggle, Paul didn't wonder, what's wrong with God and what is wrong with me? But Paul knew those things were to be expected in life. And one reason it'd be expected, because he knew the words of Jesus Christ when Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, and Jesus just says it quite plainly, in this world you'll have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, especially because you are a believer of mine, a follower of mine. That's no get past trouble free card there. That just ensures you are really going to have trouble. So God does and will allow you to experience more than you can handle on your own. So don't be surprised, don't be confused, and definitely don't be ashamed. I can't bear it. It's more than I can handle. But secondly, you should know why. You should know why God allows you to experience more than you can handle. Now we get down to talking about who God is, how God works in our lives. So Paul continues to write in 1 Corinthians verse 9 through 11. He says, but this happened to me. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, so that he will continue to deliver us as you help us with your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us and answers to the prayers of many. In essence, what Paul says, this is why something like this happens, and God allows it to happen, and that is so that we will not be self-reliant, self-dependent, and that we will always rely upon God. And while these are not part of God's perfect plan, your suffering, your pain, your losses, the deaths of loved ones in your life, they're not part of God's perfect plan. But they are part of the human experience. And God then works through that and helps us during those time. And that's the, God will not let these things frustrate his purposes in his life. Why? So we will not rely on ourselves, but we rely upon God. We'll depend upon God. And along with that, that we will receive help from others, humbling ourselves to receive God's help and even the prayers of others. So here is a better promise. And this is what you can tell somebody on the full weight and authority of the scripture itself. This is the better promise. God will help you handle all that you've been given. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll not leave you alone in the midst of that. He will not abandon you. He is there with it. When you feel like it's dark and you're all alone, he is there. God will help you handle all that you will be given. And so God wants us to go through that. We want to receive help from God. And oftentimes, these aren't from God, but God allows us to have, he will help us through those things. He goes through the pain with us. Psalm 23:4. And we say it all the time when we quote the 23rd Psalm. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Well, not because he transports us from the valley of the shadow of death. No, he says, I just walk right through the valley of shadow of death with you. And that's where many of you can say, I'm going through the valley of the darkest shadow. He is there with you. Psalm 46:1-2. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. And that may describe how, that describes perfectly at times, I feel the earth just falls out from under us. The mountains fall into the heart of the sea. He is there with us. Now, how does that happen? Well, and later on in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about that thorn in the flesh, and he appeals to God to take that thorn in the flesh away. In order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. He says, I pray to God, God, this is more than I can handle. Would you take it away from me? Next, verse 8. And I plead with him 3 times, he goes on to say, verse 9. Pray to take it away from me 3 times. Verse 9 be next. Yeah, there we go. And he said, but the Lord said, no, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not taking it away. But I tell you what I will do. I'll give you grace that is sufficient to take you through that, deal with that, handle that. I will help you handle that. Then you'll rely upon me and my, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more in my weakness. And so that's where he takes us through that. And so he says, what I'm going to give you is grace. Grace. So God won't give you more, and he won't even allow you more than what he, another way to say, God won't give you or even allow more than he can handle through you. And so this is what I want to do as we close this morning. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head for a moment. And I just want to, in a moment, and just every eye closed, and we're going to pray together. And maybe you're going through more than what you can probably even think you can handle even now. And you say, it's too much. It's too much. I don't know if I can go on. And I'm reminded of these words of Isaiah. In Isaiah 41:10, he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Bring the house lights up a little bit. Okay? And every eye is closed, every head is bowed. If you're going through a difficult time now that's more than you can handle, and nobody's looking around but me, I want to pray with you. And I won't call you out. Just raise your hand. It's just something you're dealing with right now. There's hands. I see hands going up. Hands all over. You don't even know what the answer is. You just don't know. You wonder what's wrong with God. I want to pray with you about that this morning and pray especially for you. And not only that, we're going to stand and we're going to worship. If you want to just come down here and pray about it this morning, there'll be somebody that will come with you this morning. And they'll be here, and I'll pray with you, and others will pray with you right here at these altars if we can pray with you about that. God's word tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares and worries and hurts on him, on Jesus, because he cares for you. And so I want to invite you to stand. I want you to keep your heads bowed. I'm going to pray for you. Then we're going to worship. If you want to come and pray right here this morning, alone or with someone, just bring somebody with you to strengthen you and plead out and cry out to God, depending upon Him and depending on the prayers of others. Father, we know that we can cast every care upon You. Across this room, many hands went up. I pray especially for those who raised their hands. And Father, saying that there's something's going on. It's cancer. Father, it's death. Father, it's darkness. And I pray that You'd release them from the burden of thinking, I can't go through this. No, that You will strengthen them as they go through the valley of darkness. You go through it with them. And Father, I pray You'd bring some release from emotional guilt and shame. And Father, we'll call upon You. Give us hope and light today. And it's a life-changing name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.